controversy here on this portion of the Two Guys Named Chris show. A drunk driver who hit a pole is now suing. This happened in 2005. A woman named Jennifer Wilbur was driving drunk in Washington State. Skagit County is the name of the county. She was doing 34 on a curvy road. The speed limit was 25. She's doing 34. Her friend, Nathan Lohman, was in the passenger seat at the time and ended up with a permanently disfigured right arm. They cannot fix it. So Jennifer pleaded guilty to felony vehicular assault, and Nathan sued her to get money for his injury. She lost the lawsuit. Now Jennifer is suing the power company, claiming they put the pole too close to the road. It was 4.47 feet from the road. It's supposed to be at least 10 feet. Mm-hmm. Even though she was driving drunk, she says she's got a case. Our attorney, Lisa Lanier, is on with us. Good morning, Lisa. How you doing?
Hey, good morning. I'm doing great.
Tell us.
You guys are.
Doing very well. Thank you. The Washington State Supreme Court ruled recently, yes, she can sue Puget Sound Energy for negligence. Are you surprised by this ruling, Lisa? Do you think that she'll wind up getting some money out of this because the pole was too close to the road?
Well, I think there are a couple of situations here where she can recover. Number one is I think that this originally came about because she or her insurance company had to pay damages to her passenger. And so I think that originally the thought about the placement of the pole had to do with trying to get some compensation for her insurance company, basically to be reimbursed for some of what they paid under kind of a joint and several liability theory. But she personally then is trying to add on, I think, her own injury claims. And you can do that. I mean, in North Carolina, it wouldn't fly because her claim would be barred by contributory negligence. But in a comparative negligence state, it absolutely would fly. And, you know, the jury would just compare her degree of negligence to the company that put the utility pole there.
Even though she's driving drunk and obviously contributes to it, you're saying in one of these type states, she could wind up getting some money. One of the nine, by the way, Supreme Court justices in Washington voted against letting Jennifer sue and wrote that taxpayers should have to pay no penalty because a criminal hurt themselves or someone else. Do you agree with his sentiment?
You know, that's, I think, part of, you know, like here in North Carolina, why we have this, if you were negligent, then you just cannot make a claim. But in most other jurisdictions, they do this comparison. You know, so it's, and placement of things like, it used to be back when there were telephone booths. I was involved in a piece of legislation, you know, I mean, a piece of litigation about placement of a telephone booth that was too close to the right-of-way, and I was actually defending in that situation. But there, you see a lot of lawsuits about dangerous intersections and that sort of thing. And so, but you know, here, like in North Carolina, you just couldn't. This would not fly at all. She would not have any claim whatsoever.
What if she hadn't been drunk but was speeding? You know, was going 30. I think she was going 34 and a 25. So she's a little over the speed limit, but she wasn't drunk. Would that work in North Carolina?
Well, it might. I mean, her speed would be considered as a factor, but that's not a big speed difference. And so if her speed didn't contribute to the cause of the accident itself, and the cause of the accident was strictly an improper or negligent placement of something like a pole, then she would be able to do that in North Carolina.
Hmm. Lisa, in your experience, have you ever seen any case where the owner of, let's say, an outdoor fruit stand sues a driver for plowing through his outdoor fruit stand, which happens in every movie that's ever been made?
Right, absolutely. Absolutely. And there was, I just saw a case that we were involved in where a big tractor trailer came plowing through something kind of like that. It was, it's a roadside market sort of thing. I think they sell other things. It's almost like a roadside flea market. And, it's like something out of a comedy.
Was Sylvester Stallone running from the truck that hit
exactly,
the fruit? That's what usually happens. All right,
that's
interesting case. I think some people look at that and go, well, she's got some nerve. She was drunk and hurt the guy, and now she's trying to benefit from it by suing.
But 4 feet is awfully close.
It is.
Even if, let's say you had, Deidre's having an asthma attack, you couldn't pull your car over without hitting it.
No. I mean, it's supposed to be 10. It's less than half how far it's supposed to be off the road. I'm glad you're on the phone. We have another legal question today, if you don't mind. And this one's getting a lot of attention today. A judge in Tennessee changed a 7-month-old boy's name to Martin. He had been named Messiah, saying the religious name was earned by one person and one person only, and that was Jesus Christ. Apparently, now this woman's name is Luann Ballou, and she changed the name last week because the couple was in there. They could not come to an agreement on the last name of the child. They're not married. And the, you know, the father wanted his last name, the mother wanted her last name. So they were in there for that. She said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to change his first name from Messiah to Martin. And we actually have the judge commenting on the case.
The word Messiah is a title. And it's a title that has only been earned by one person. And that one person is Jesus Christ.
Lisa, can a judge do that?
Amen, sister. Can I get an amen?
I just don't think.
God.
I cannot believe that. I mean, that's
ridiculous.
Isn't it? I mean, isn't that she going way over her bounds there by changing the boy's name?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I mean, I would question whether that judge would potentially be liable for some there's judicial standards that, you know, I mean, that it's such an egregious thing that she did. Yeah, absolutely. I think that's, you know, I mean, you may not like the name, but good grief, you know, that's
really
that's absolutely.
There's a long line of names we hate.
Absolutely.
Long.
I mean, you get to name your kid what you want to name your kid.
That's the rule.
Unless it's like F U. You
know, and I've seen much worse. I have seen much, much worse. I think my favorite, I ran into somebody who had named their twins. Swear this is the name. It was Lamangelo and Arangelo, spelled just like Jello, you know, like orange Jello. And
Lisa.
No, you did not.
Jello. Objection.
You really knew Arangelo and Lamangelo?
I knew some people named Arangelo and Lamangelo. Oh,
we have talked about these names in the past. Here is the mom of the kid, formerly Messiah, now Martin. He's 7 months old.
Never intended on that naming my son Messiah because it means God. And I didn't think a judge could make me change my baby's name because of her religious beliefs. Everybody believes what they want, so I think I should be able to name my child what I want to name him.
Messiah is the fourth fastest rising baby name in 2012, according to the Social Security Administration. Apparently, it's becoming popular.
Is it in a book or something?
I don't know why.
Other than, you know, the other one.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Is it, it's not Game of Thrones or anything like that?
I don't know of any Messiah.
No, you know, Zion and some of those kinds of names.
Yeah.
You know, it's just ridiculous. It's one of the worst judicial acts I think I've ever heard of. It's terrible. Hmm.
I know this judge, man, she just really thinks a lot of herself. I'll change your baby's name for you. So you think it'll be easy to change back then?
Oh, most definitely.
Well, I would hope so. At the judge's expense, I would say.
Exactly. Thank you. I would think the judge would be reprimanded for that potentially.
I would think. My God. All right, Lisa Lanier. I wondered about that because judges do have a lot of power, it seems, but that is going one too many, it seems like. Everybody seems to agree with that. Well, Lisa, it's always good to talk to you, and you, of course, are our official attorney for a reason. She's the best in the business, LanierLawGroup.com. She's president there, and you can get her on our website, rock92.com, keyword Lisa. We'll talk to you again later in the week.
Sounds good. Have a great week.